So last week we dove into Ephesians 5. Now in Ephesians 5, hold on, let me pause before I say that. Y'all, I got the opportunity of officiating a wedding yesterday, and they're here. Oh, can y'all raise your hand? Emily, Joe, y'all, can y'all give it up for these newlyweds right now? That's right. Newlyweds, they got all booed up yesterday. And I'm telling you, you're more of a Christian than I am. I mean, I'd be like, look, preacher, forget you. You know, I got married. Things are awesome when you're married. It's created by God. Hey, okay, anyway. So last week, before I put my foot in my mouth even more, last week we dove into Ephesians 5, and I picked on you fellas. Picked on you like crazy. And we talked about men. We need to love our wives, according to Ephesians 5. We need to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And so I said, men, we need to love our wives. And the main point was to do what, y'all? Pursue your what? Pursue your boo. That's right. I was getting like 70-year-olds saying like, I call my wife my boo. I'm like, I'm talking about, bro. You know, how many husbands in there called your wife your boo last week? Scotty, what? It's terrible. Come on, man. She your boo. Anyway, but I also challenge you to do some things that got me in hot water with all of you men, with a lot of you men. I gave some examples of what you need to do to pursue your boo and to give yourself up to your boo, and I said a couple of things. One, I said, all right, you know, you can rub her feet, you know, you can take her out to eat. That's easy, unless your wife got ugly feet. You know what I mean? It's easy to rub some feet, to go out to eat, to go and to enjoy, you know, your marriage, to pursue your boo. But I said one thing that got me in hot water more than anything. I said, men, if your wives want to watch a chick flick, then lay down your rights as a husband, your God-given rights to that remote control. Lay it down and watch that chick flick with your wife. See, I heard women say yes. Men are looking at me like, you jerk, right? Now, I've got several calls and comments from men. But I got one call from my buddy Wendell. And Wendell sent me a video of him watching the musical Phantom of the Opera. He goes, I'm watching this. Thanks a lot. And if you don't know Wendell, I wish Wendell was here right now, but he's not. But this is Wendell. Now look at this dude, a manly man. Look at that, holding that money, you know? Ooh, I need to talk to him about tithing. So look at that dude, manly man. Like, Wendell is a father of four. A devoted husband, manly man, hunter, skilled mechanic, big old strong burly dude. Or next picture. Look at that dude right there. You can't get more manly than that picture. I got one more of him. Oh my goodness. That was his family photo. Let's put a gun in every last one of my children's hands. That's what I'm talking about. Well, the guy watched Phantom of the Opera. Now this is him. You see what you women do to us men? That right there. For the love of God, can we take that off the screen? Oh, no. I already did last night. He called me a jerk. No, of course I'm joking. But it was easy for me to preach that sermon because I am man talking to men. I can deal with men being angry at me. I'm cool. I'm a man. I can slug it out with you. Well, this week I said I was going to pick on women. Now, the more I was studying what I was going to preach to women, I started getting more nervous and more nervous and more nervous. And I was just flat out getting scared because this is a tall order that I have to fill. So just know, ladies, I am doing what God told me to do. So get mad at him, all right? Can I get amen? All right then. Ooh, yes, I heard a lady say amen. All right. So let's read this together. Now, But first, it's the reason why I believe it's so difficult for you to hear what I'm about to say is because a man is teaching you to do it. Now, I'll explain why a little later on, but let's read the scripture. Ephesians 5, verse 22 through 24. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Got that S word, so tough. The word submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Verse 24. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Now, I don't want to overgeneralize this audience, but I talked to several women before I preached this, so several women throughout the week, and I heard their hearts, I heard their opinions, and I've come to this conclusion. Many women in here would immediately, many, not all, but many women in here would immediately feel uncomfortable knowing that a man is challenging you, a woman, to submit to another man. Let me repeat that. The reason why many women will feel uncomfortable, because a man who sees man, speaks man, is man, speaking to a woman to submit to another man. Why do I believe that this is difficult? I think we should explore why. Why, when men say anything about the S word, that word submission, that it would immediately make a lot of women feel uncomfortable. This is what I think. This is why I believe it's so difficult sometimes. It's because our nation has historically and is presently treating women as if they are inferior to men. I believe that's why. The reason why it's so uncomfortable for a woman to hear about submission is because our culture, men, has created a culture that heralds women are inferior to men. Now you think about it. Like, women had to fight for their rights to vote. Women had to fight for their rights to own land. That's historically speaking, but let's just talk about presently, like right now, 2018. Women make 20% less than men for the same exact job. Same exact job. You make 80 cents for every man's dollar. And now on top of all of that, we live in a culture that demeans women, abuses women, exploits women. And who created their culture? Who's in charge? Men. We live in a culture that exploits women, takes advantage of them, abuses them. We treat them unfairly. And then we have the nerve to say, submit to me. Women like, what? You done lost your mind, bruh? Men, can you blame them? You, of course, in a culture like that, women would like to buck the system. Of course. Can't blame them. Now, men, I know you're like, dude, aren't you picking on women this week? I'm going to get there. Women. That doesn't mean we should throw the baby out with the bathwater whatsoever. When people say, hear this, when people say in the 21st century to submit, what our culture really means is to subdue. Now, to subdue somebody is to overcome them. To subdue somebody is to overpower them. To subdue somebody is to conquer them, to suppress them. And so when our culture says women to submit, it's not talking about biblical submission. It's talking about to conquer women. And let me tell you this, women, like biblical submission could not be further from the opposite of what our culture is doing today. Couldn't be opposite. Couldn't be even further opposite. Submitting and subduing is two completely different things. You're called to submit. Biblically submit to your husbands. Believe that we need to go back to the first century, early Christians, brand new converts. Generation after generation after generation after generation don't know Jesus, but now they are there. How did they view submit? How did Peter, how did Paul, how did these men, how did Jesus teach about submission to these women? We're going to dive into that. And submission is something that we're all called to do, but I'm specifically talking about women right now. So let me make it personal. Submission is something that you are called to do as a woman. But before we dive into submission and before you have the ability to submit, you first must know who you are. Have to. Let me repeat that. Before we're able to submit, you must first know who you are. You see, if you don't know who you are, like from what the word says who you are, then you're going to be elevating yourself. And how dare, you can't submit to nobody. Like, no, you're too busy proving of who you are and why you belong, why you should have a voice. That's not your job to do that. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's talk about who you are. And think about it. The Bible gives us thousands and thousands of verses talking about who you are, women. Thousands. I'm just going to give you three. I will be here all day, all night, all year, all decade, all century. There is not enough words in the English language to describe who you are in Christ. Let me just give you a few. Oh, which is beautiful. Check this out. Galatians 3, 26 through 29 says this. Women, you listen to this. Listen to this. Hear this. This is who you are. Oh. They say women deal with insecurity. Yes, I believe that it's because of a culture that men created. But don't just blame men, it's yourself. Who is anybody to tell you who you are when Christ already tells you who you are? So you don't have to accept that, walk in the identity who God said you are. Women dealing with insecurity, that's your own fault because you've accepted who you are. Don't get me wrong, men, we are to affirm and to encourage and to uplift our women. But women, it is your, man, we can do all of that stuff, but if you ain't accepting it, it's all in vain. So let's find out who we are. Amen. All right. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. I'm about to preach today. So in Christ, you are all children of God through faith. You're children of God. Keep that in mind. We hear that a lot. You churchgoers, we hear that a lot. You church, being a part of the church, we hear that all of the time. Oh, we're children of God. We are children of God. We are children of God. And I think whenever we say that often, it loses its potency. You are a child of God. Now keep that in mind, all right? Verse 27, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free. Now check this out. Nor is there male and female. Uh-oh. He named off some really big differences right there. Couldn't get more different than a slave or free. You know, you can't get more different than a Jew and a Gentile. Uh-oh, male and female? You are, now hear this, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. Verse 29, this is big. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and this is huge, heirs according to the promise. Now let's check this out. So first, you're children. And now since you are children, then you are rightful heirs. Now think about this. We heard this in first century. The first century, so foreign. Imagine women reading that. They're like, wait a minute, wait. I'm an heir of who? I have an inherit, huh? Have an inheritance? In that culture, men only received the inheritance. Only men. You see in the word, people prayed for a boy. I want to have a boy so I can give my legacy, so I can give my inheritance. I want to give a boy to carry this family legacy. Could I already have 30,000 women, but give me that boy. Check this out. Galatians said, I don't care if you're a Jew or a Gentile, I don't care if you're a slave or free, it don't matter if you're a male or female, since you are a child of God, then you are Abraham's seed and you are heirs according to the promise. So check this out. Where a woman would just feel so defeated because she couldn't be an heir to her father's estate, Jesus Christ came down, died for you, reconciling the relationship, and said, I prepared a place for you. I'm going to come back to get you from your estate that I freely give to you. And just because that you are a woman, that doesn't mean I created for you to live in the slums and a man to live in a mansion, because male and female, it don't matter. You my daughter, you're an heir, and here, so you can receive everything that I bestow to you. Why are we dealing with insecurity, Christian women? You're an heir to the throne. Rightful heir. Chuck your head up. Walk with that swag. I love it when children of God, when they look at a problem, they look at a situation, they look at an enemy, and people try to like look down upon them, and they're like, with their attitude, with their demeanor, with their swagger, they're like, do you have any idea who I am? Women, walk with that confidence. Walk with that swag. Realize who you are. You heir. So women, you receive that not before or after men, but alongside. So who are you, women? You're heirs. That's just one. Next one. Genesis 1 says, then God said, let us make man. Now, when they're talking about the word man, you go to the original word. The word man is Adam. That word Adam is the generic form of mankind. So they're saying, let's make people, all right? Let's make mankind in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Let me pause right there. God said, let's make people in our own image and let him have dominion. Them, plural, male and female. Women, you have just as much dominion on this earth than a man does. Do you see yourself like that? Or do you want to get kicked around, pushed over? Rhetorical. Verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and what? Female. He created them. Who are you, women? You are God's image bearers. That's big. You think God created man and then gave him, oh, here's some leftover image. Let me go ahead and just, you know, throw it out to the girls. No. And think about this. He created man from his what? From his side. He didn't create man from his feet so he can trample all over him. He didn't create man from his mind so he can have mental dominion over them. He created man from the side, my ribs, you my equal. Women, walk with that confidence. You have to internally know that. And while you internally knowing that truth will set you free from the bondage of insecurity, and you will behave like that. You will respect yourself like that. And you will also demand that respect. Graciously demand that respect. You are heirs. You are image bearers. Verse 21. Romans 2:11. Whew. You can't get more straightforward than this. God shows no favoritism. You can't get more clear than that. Who are you, women? You're equal. So you're heirs, you're image bearers, and you are equal. You can't get more straightforward than that. I mean, hear this. You ladies, now I've said this before. I'm going to say this. I talk about this example all of the time. I look at Maggie, I look at Violet, I even tell little no tooth having Penelope, my three daughters, five and under. Every night, they say these words, they repeat it. I am beautiful. Nobody can tell me different. I can be anybody that I want to be. I can do anything I want to do. Love God, love others, love self. Every single night before they go to bed, they memorize it, you know? Because I don't want no bald head man coming up to them and tell them who they're not. Oh, no. You don't have any idea who my father told me who, you know, I am? And do you have any idea of what his spiritual father told him to tell me who is also my spiritual daddy? Get on before you get spit on. You know? And you hear this, women. It's easy to submit when you're secure. Easy. Submit, no problem. I know who I am. It's easy to submit whenever you're secure in who God has called you to be. When you know the truth and acting the truth, walking out the truth, teaching that truth, nobody can tell you different. You can submit to any institution God has given you. Any institution. I'm wrapping up here before I really get excited. I've been mild-mannered this entire sermon. After we know who we are, we need to also know what is biblical submission. I was thinking about spending the entire sermon on what is biblical submission. And I felt in my spirit, God goes, it ain't that hard. It ain't. He gave me this very simple definition of what biblical submission is. Biblical submission is having an attitude that consistently tells your husband that I desire and I affirm your leadership. Let me repeat that. Biblical submission is having an attitude that consistently tells your husband that I desire your leadership and I affirm your leadership. Men, you know I'm telling the truth with this. You know, like, when whenever you feel like you did something good and your boot thing come up to you and say, hey, I see you doing good. I appreciate you. When your wife serves you, now we are both spouses are called to serve one another, but let me specifically say that, like, you serve your husband, here you go. Appreciate you. Hey, boy, you look good. You know? He comes through the door and you're happy to see him. Come on. And also when he messes up, you challenge him? Now, just because, and I told this to Emily yesterday, submission does not mean you leave your brain at the altar. None whatsoever. And submission does not mean that you just get trampled upon at all. Like, God gave you specific talents. God gave you he gave you your mind. He gave you your intellect. He gave you your creativity. So you add something to that marriage. And without you, that marriage is incomplete. Like, men are sufficient without women. Make no mistake. How do I know that? Before the Bible tells me so. God created everything in the world, and then he said, it is not good for man to be alone. So he created a helper suitable for him. And then he presented everything, Genesis 2, he presented everything in front of him, all of the animals, and none was fit for him. Nope, Donkey ain't suitable for him. Sea turtle, uh-uh. A dinosaur, not even close. Giraffe, oh, you're kind of cute, but no, I ain't talking about that. And so let's make a woman for you. And then Adam saw God presenting that woman to him, and he was like, dang, she fine as all get out. And God goes, that's your boo. And they said their marriage vows, and they was booed up forever. Check this out. Women, you are, men, you are the, you are like incomplete without women. Women, wives, you are incomplete without your husbands. And you need your husband to be firing on all cylinders. How do you get him to fire on all cylinders? By submitting to his leadership. Whatever he does well, you affirm him. Whenever he does it wrong, by the grace of God, by gently and graciously coming to him and saying like, hey, I want to be firing on all cylinders too. So I need you to get it together. How do you get it together? Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's not do this. And you're affirming him as you're doing that. So his heart will be softened to the gospel, and because your submission, you bring salvation to the situation. Yeah. That's it. Husbands, you know I'm telling the truth. What would you feel if your boo thing came up to you, goes, keep going. Good job. It compels him to do better for you and for his children. And for his brothers and sisters. Yes, he is the lead. But it's crazy. He is the head, but you're equal at the same time. You are to fall underneath his hoopago, meaning under his umbrella, under his leadership, but you're the same, you know? And you can uplift that man. And you think about it, as he goes higher, you're right there with him. Oh my gosh, submission is beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Hear this. Women's submission, despite what this culture teaches you right now, submission has nothing to do with power or rights. Nothing to do with it. It's about honoring God's design. It's about honoring his algorithm. God gives us an algorithm to make the system work. That's the deal. Every system has a specific algorithm. And if one little piece is off of that algorithm, it throws the whole system off. God gives you a specific algorithm. And if you follow that algorithm to the T, that system is going to flourish. If God calls you to submit, Jeremiah 29:11, have a plans to what you? Prosper you. I have plans to prosper you. It is not like why do you think that God would create submission so you can be subdued, so you can be conquered? No. Like, if he has plans for his people to prosper, that means submission is in that algorithm for you to prosper. Think about this minimum. Submission is used to bring about salvation to your situation, whatever that situation may be. Now, check this out. 2 Peter, it talks about men submitting to government, to submit to the emperor, to submit to leaders. Every person in here has an idea of submission, every single one. Male, female, kid, everybody. You know, if you're a writer, you have to submit to grammar. If you're a driver, you have to submit to the speed limit. You know, if you are on a diet, you got to submit to whatever the rules that diet is. Make sense? You know? Everybody has to submit. And so in 1 Peter chapter 2, it explains all of that. And then it goes specifically, it goes, women, now you submit to your husbands. Now check this out. Many women may be in here and your husband is not there. Matter of fact, maybe the only time your husband has been here is like, you know, Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever. Now, it could be for many reasons, but I'm specifically talking to you women that the husband's like, nah, forget that, I ain't coming. Maybe he doesn't even know Jesus yet. Jesus, God gives you an algorithm to win him over. In chapter 3, he said, submit to your husbands, because he's going to see you submitting underneath his leadership. And his heart's going to be softened to the gospel, that he may know the gospel as well by your good deeds. You may not say a word, but just because you have that attitude, you have that disposition of submitting and affirming your husband, God is knocking on his heart, knocking on his heart. And by your submitting, it will get his butt right here learning with you. And from there, he will affirm your children, lead your children, lead you, lead his brothers and sisters, and change the dynamic of your family by your submission. If you think that submission doesn't bring about salvation, you couldn't be further from the truth. That's why it's beautiful. That's why God called us to do it. Submission. Everybody in here, you Christians, you submitted underneath Christ's pursuit, and you're going to be in heaven one day because you submitted. Every time you see God calling somebody to submit, you see salvation happen. Moses submitted. He brought salvation to all of the people. Jonah ran from submission. God's like, no, 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 no. That's not the algorithm. Let me get a good old whale, swallow you up. You're going to submit, you're going to submit, you're going to submit. 3 days later, inside of a fish, oh, yeah, God, I get it. Blah, go preach to the Ninevites. Did it. That entire godless nation came to know Jesus, came to know God, because he finally submitted. Jesus Christ submitted to the will of his Father. God, if it's possible, let this bitter cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I submit underneath your hoopago. He submitted, and because Christ submitted, we are reconciled to the Father. Submission brings about salvation. Submission brings light in the dark situation. Question is, women, are you woman enough to bring light in a dark area by submitting? First, realize who you are, you heir. Realize who you are, you image bearer. Realize who you are, you equal. And then you look at your husband and say, I submit to you. And then you carry that attitude, that disposition, and you're going to bring salvation to that situation. A good marriage needs two things. A good godly marriage. Well, three things. You need God, of course. Man's pursuit, women's submission. That simple. And that difficult at the same time. Amen? Everybody be so bold, stand up. Every Christian in here knows Jesus because of their submission. Every. You submitted underneath Christ's leadership. You submit to fall underneath his leadership. And because of that, it brought salvation to you. Make no mistake, for the people who are in here who don't know Jesus, you will not experience salvation without Jesus. That job, you know, could get better and you could receive a whole lot more money. It ain't gonna bring salvation to a situation. It'll bring more money, but it won't bring salvation. If your heart is broken and you want your girl or your guy to come back, and like they may come back, but if you don't know Jesus, it's not gonna be better. It's not gonna bring salvation to what you got going on. Temporary happiness, yes, but what's temporary to the you know, eternal? You will fail without Christ. Make no mistake. You need him. You need him. And that's the only way you're gonna experience salvation. With every head bowed and with every eye closed, if there's anybody in here that do not know Jesus, that has a desire to know Jesus today, you want to make that commitment to submit to his pursuit, would you be so bold of slipping up your hand right now? Is there anybody in here? Christians, pursue and submit. Men, pursue your wives. Husbands, pursue your wives. Women, submit to your husbands. Everybody, submit to Christ. Let your beautiful marriage be shown throughout the entire world. And everybody, if you're single, it's all right. You can still show how you submit to Christ and you accepted his pursuit that the world may know you. May the world may know God through your example. Amen? Let's pray. We're going to pray and we're going to worship one song. Father, thank you so much that you love us, that you care for us, that you're here. We pray we will submit to your leadership, submit to your pursuit. Pray for every husband in here that they will love their wives as Christ loved the church and give themselves up to their wives like we're supposed to give ourselves up to you, Father. We pray the church will submit to you, Father, and wives will submit to their husbands. We pray, God, that this process will make you smile. People will know you because of it. We thank you and we love you. And all, everybody said, amen. Y'all, let's worship real quick. Let's have